Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verses 20 through 23. So listen for the word of God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, come, let us go to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from nations of every language shall take a hold of a Jew, grasping his garment and saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And our second reading comes from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. So again, listen for the word of God. Now among those who went to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came down from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. And the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, as we ponder the words of your Holy Scripture, we ask that your Spirit guide us, that the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. Amen. A while ago, a middle-aged couple moved to Minneapolis because of a job change. And since they were active churchgoers, they quickly began to search for a new church home in their new city. And so each Sunday, they would pick out a church to attend and go visit. And each Sunday, they were welcomed by friendly people, sat through an interesting worship service, and given a brochure on the way out. Each church had something to offer the couple. And yet, each church seemed oddly similar, even if their architecture, their worship style, and theologies were quite different. And that is how it was until they visited one of the Presbyterian churches in the area. There, they were welcomed by friendly people, sat through an interesting worship service, but they weren't sent home with a brochure. Instead, one of the women of the church came up to the visiting wife and said, "Come downstairs, I need your help serving the meal to our senior citizens that eat here every Sunday." And she grabbed the wife's arm and swept her downstairs. Before she knew it, she was ladling mashed potatoes onto plates. For the seniors of the community would come to that church at noon every Sunday for a hot meal and a time of fellowship. I'm going to let you guess which church that couple ended up joining. One of the questions I ask people when they join here is, what brought you here? It's a simple question with a myriad of answers, but no matter what people say, the answer they give is that they are seeking something. Something they hope to find in this church or some other church. And I always wonder if we understand what we're offering to those who are seeking. During this season of Lent, I've been exploring the question of what people are seeking. Some may be seeking the truth. Some are seeking direction. There are those who are seeking help and others who are seeking forgiveness. And then there's today's scriptures, which point to another sort of seeking. Sort of seeking of the seekers. In our passage from Zechariah, we have a prophet who's telling the people, telling us that people will come from the cities of the world to Jerusalem seeking the favor of the Lord, and they will grab the sleeves of the Jews of Jerusalem and say to them, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." We have heard that God is with you, and so they will come because God is with you. And this passage is a foreshadowing of our passage from the Gospel of John. For in our Gospel of John, Jesus has just ridden into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowds are hailing him and waving their palms, shouting Hosanna. And now in the midst of the festivities of Passover in Jerusalem, John tells us that there are some Greeks who, as John tells us, wished to see Jesus. We don't know who these Greek seekers are, only that they're not the Jewish folks that were gathered in Jerusalem. They may be foreigners who are now living in Jerusalem or the surrounding countryside and were swept up in the festivities. They may be converts to Judaism who have traveled to Jerusalem from some far off place for the Passover celebration. What we do know is that they have heard of Jesus. And of course they have heard of Jesus. I mean, he has just ridden into the city with crowds of people shouting Hosanna. You couldn't help but notice, if you were anywhere in the town, that there was someone special coming into town, and so they were curious. Thus, it seems natural that having heard about Jesus, they would want to see him for themselves. However, the crowds around Jesus made that difficult to do. So being enterprising folk, they approached one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, who in turn takes them to another disciple, Andrew, and together they take the Greeks to Jesus. Now what's interesting in our scripture story, however, is that Jesus does not seem to be in the least bit interested in meeting these Greeks. I'm wondering what the membership committee might say about that. If they brought someone into the church and said, "Mark, I want you to meet somebody who's visiting." Sorry. But that apparently is what Jesus was about. Instead, he talks to Andrew and Philip and the rest of the disciples and says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Huh? Say what? Jesus, in his cryptic way, was saying, what do they expect to see, these Greeks? I'm not looking for admirers, I'm looking for followers. And if they want to follow me, I won't sugarcoat it. I won't promise that it'll all be easy. In fact, the only thing I can promise is that one is likely to lose one's life in the process. I'm just wondering what Jesus's publicist would say about that response. But Jesus doesn't want to ease one into following. He wants to give it to us straight. Following him might not be easy, which is so different from the church growth manuals that I read. In them, we are told to make Christianity relevant, to meet people's needs. We need to make it easy for people to join the church. And yet here, Jesus is telling these newcomers to the faith that they are in for a challenging ride. When I was serving a church in the Chicago suburbs, we had a partner with an inner city church that worked with the youth in Chicago, trying to give them an alternative to the street gangs. This particular pastor of that church came out and talked to us about their ministry, and he told us that this wasn't youth ministry as we understood it. Out in the suburbs, we made youth ministry fun with sleepovers at the church and outings to Christian rock concerts. Our approach was to make it easy for them to become part of the youth group, and then maybe they would become Christian and part of the church. We might tell them that Christianity takes some work, but we were careful to say it's not too much work and it'll be fun along the way. We made every effort to make the kids in our youth group feel comfortable with being a Christian. This inner city pastor told us that our approach would never work with the kids he worked with. The kids that he worked with had to know that if they joined the church, life would be hard for them. They would be ridiculed by their friends at school. They would be pressured by the gangs to quit the church and join up with them. They might even get beat up in that effort. The pastor told us, if I didn't tell them straight out that being a Christian is tough, I wouldn't be doing these kids any favors. By the way, his church had 100 kids every Sunday morning. And his comments reminds me of the words of Jesus, who told his followers to take up their cross and follow him. 80 years ago, a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed in a Nazi prison towards the end of World War II. Bonhoeffer was a pastor and a seminary professor in Germany before the war began. He was known for his writings about social justice and peace issues, and he traveled the world giving lectures. It was while he was in the United States that Hitler came to power. Fearing for his safety, his friends in America arranged for him to get a professorship at an American seminary, but he turned it down. He said that in order for him to pastor the German people, he must be in Germany. And while there, he was one of the few pastors who openly spoke against the Nazis, which, for his trouble, put him in jail. Still, he managed to retain his freedom until he participated into a plot to assassinate Hitler, a plot that failed and landed him again in jail. While in prison, he continued to write against the atrocities of the Nazis until his death, just days before the Allies liberated the camp he was in. Today, at the site of that concentration camp, there is a memorial where his name, along with the others arrested for the conspiracy against Hitler, is etched in stone. Also carved into the stone are the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." This was the sort of Christianity that Jesus was laying before these Greeks. This church may not be dealing with street gangs or Nazi oppression, but we do have people coming to us, each asking in their own way, "Can you help me see Jesus? Because I see that God is present with you." And when we take them to Jesus, are we prepared for the message that Jesus is going to give them and going to give us? Amen.